We began a new message series last week that we're calling Read All About It. You see, in a day where there's so much news out there that we're challenged to know whether it's true or not, we decided instead we want to look to the good news and allow it to challenge us, to the only source of news that's absolutely always reliable, God's Word, the Bible. So that's what we're doing right now. This is a series that's going to share some of the accounts, the real accounts, where Jesus made the headline in his time and still making them today, leading up to the time of the cross and the crucifixion and his resurrection, leading us into Easter. And I want to give credit where credit's due. A lot in this series, I've been doing some resourcing. I'm resourcing a series called Jesus Makes Headlines from Saddleback Church, from the teaching team there, using some outlines and some of the content, and it's been really helpful in this to help form the message series that God is having us do right now. So I'm thankful that there's a lot of good resources out there to use and want to give credit for that. As you read all about these stories of Jesus, friends, here's the thing. They're very cool. And the very cool thing about them is that they aren't just for 2,000 years ago. These accounts of Jesus aren't just for 2,000 years ago. They're also for you and for me today. Every miracle that Jesus worked, every great teaching that Jesus did, every great conversation that Jesus had, they're for you and they're for me today as well. Jesus has something to say to you. He has something to say to me, something for us to learn. And that's why God, through the Holy Spirit, empowered the authors of the Bible to write down these accounts so that we have them today. As we read all about these accounts, they help us to live the kind of life that Jesus desires for us to live. And here's the thing, friends. Jesus lived the most incredible life that you can live on this earth. He had more joy than any other. He had more fulfillment than any other. And he lived his life the right way. But he didn't just do this so that we can read all about it. He did it so that we can learn how to live it, to live our life. So that's what we're looking for in these messages in this series. Today we're going to look at two accounts with Jesus and Peter. Both of these accounts happen to include a boat. So that's why we have a boat on the platform today. They have a boat, and both of them are experiences of how we can learn to get faith. How do you get faith in your life? How do you begin faith in your life? And then how do you live out that faith in your life? As we look at these two boat stories, we're going to look at how to get Jesus into your boat, to get Jesus into your life. And then what we learn is once Jesus is in your life, he's in your boat, what he begins to do is he gets you ready to get out of the boat, to get out of the boat of your selfishness and of your past and into what God wants you to do and what he wants you to be. So let's get started as we read all about it. Let's begin with prayer and we'll get into the first of our stories. God, we thank you so much that the Bible is packed full of things for us today. Not just 2,000 years ago or thousands of years ago when we look at the Old Testament, but that are here for us today. I'm so grateful for the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Jesus, that give the real life account of what happened to him, that tell us so much, particularly in this time of the Easter season leading to Easter, where we can really look at what you did, Jesus, and apply that to us personally. And God, we just ask you to speak to our hearts today. You want to plant some new things in us today. We're here for a reason. There's something you have for us. So help us to have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and action to move with it. Lord, lead us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So friends, first, Jesus gets into your boat. That's what we're going to talk about first. The first thing that happens, if you want to get a life of faith, to start your life of faith, is Jesus needs to get into your boat, into your life. And let's read all about that in Luke chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. And as I said last week, the intent is we'll read through stories here on Sunday mornings, but I'm encouraging you to take your outlines home to find the scripture that we're using and read all about it on your own through the week. To see what it's saying to you personally as well at home. So let's begin with Luke chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. He got into one of the boats, that's Jesus, one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. Now, Simon is later called Peter. Later, Jesus changes his name to Peter. So Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So what's going on is there's this crowd of people that's kind of formed around Jesus, and it's hard for him to talk to him because they're in so close. So he gets into this boat and pushes out like a water amphitheater a little bit from the shore. So they're on the shoreline there, and he's got a little distance so he can speak, and from the boat he begins to teach them and speak to them. So that's what's happening here. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners and the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats off on shore, left everything, and followed him. Friends, this is where it all started for Peter, right? This is where it all begins. Jesus gets into his boat, and things will never be the same again. And that's where it starts for you and me as well. Jesus gets into your boat. Jesus gets into your life, and things are never the same again. Never the same again. You've heard people say before that somebody so-and-so got religion. Have you heard that before? So-and-so, well, they went and got religion. You know, maybe it's been a friend or a family member. Maybe you heard about a movie star or a celebrity. Or maybe somebody said it about you. Well, so-and-so, they're different now since he or she got religion. Well, listen, it's not that you get religion. It's that you get Jesus. And because Jesus gets into your boat and he gets into your life, and your life is never the same again. So what does it really mean that Jesus gets into your boat or into your life? You might define it with these three words: relationship, leadership, and worship. Relationship, leadership, and worship. Let's take a quick look at those three defining words. First, Jesus getting in your boat means relationship. Jesus getting into your boat, into your life, means that you have a relationship with him. It's not that you come to church, you just and you check it out, and you go away. It's not like you're coming to watch a game, and then you go do something else. No, you know he's with you everywhere you go. He's in your boat. He's a part of your life. He's part of your decisions. He's part of everything you do. You have a relationship with him. Second, Jesus getting in your boat is this: it's leadership. Leadership. When Jesus is in your boat, in your life, he's leading your life to become all that he made you to be. And listen, you might do a lot of things on your own in life, but it's nothing near what God wants to do in your life and what God can do in your life. Because God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he has the power above and beyond your comprehension. He wants to lead us into the world and into a new identity and into eternity. Third, Jesus gets in your boat, it means worship. Do you know what the word worship, what worshiping God really is? Tom Holliday describes it this way. He says, the experience of recognizing him for who he really is. Let me say that again. The experience of recognizing him, recognizing God for who he really is. That's what worship is. That's why we call our worship times at all for church worship experiences, because we're not coming here out of service. We're not coming here out of duty. This isn't our worship duty, our worship service. It's an experience. We're here to experience and recognize God for who he really is, to experience him in our worship. And that's where real blessings in life come from, the experience of recognizing God. So getting Jesus in our boat means relationship, it means leadership, and it means worship. So how do we do this? How do we get Jesus into our boat to experience these three things? We talk a lot about beginning a relationship with Jesus, don't we? Asking Jesus into your heart, committing your life to him. But how does this happen? We don't often talk about the process that a person goes through, that they come to the place where this happens to them. Well, Peter is the perfect example of this process in this story. We can actually see four steps in the process perfectly in Peter's life. From him, this happens all very quickly. It all seems to happen in almost a moment of a day, this initial belief that he has. But these are stages of commitment that sometimes for others take a long period of time or a period of time to come to faith, but they're the steps that most all of us go through. So some of you have already gone through these stages. And as we talk about this morning, it might bring some smiles to your face. As you think about, oh, I remember when I went through that stage and this stage and when God worked for my life in that way until I came to faith. And it just might be a nice affirmation for you. For others, it might help you to connect to some other people in your life. And you can see what stage they're in. It helps you to recognize where they're at, maybe even to talk to them, to let them know that there are different stages they go through. However, some of you, maybe many of you, are in the midst of some of these stages right now. You're in the midst of it. So as we walk through them, think about where you are right now in these stages of commitment. Here's stage one. Okay, stage one is this, it's interest. It's interest. Peter lets Jesus take him fishing. That's based on interest. The first stage is that you're interested in Jesus or in spiritual matters of God or in God or in knowing that there's something more. Something's beginning to pique your interest, that there's something more out there than just you in this world. Peter would have never let Jesus in his boat. He certainly wouldn't have headed out fishing another day after not catching anything all night if he wasn't somewhat interested in this Jesus guy. Jesus had piqued his interest. Let's read all about it again in verses 3 through 4. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, what did Jesus just do here? He connected with Peter right where Peter was. Peter's a fisherman. So Jesus goes to the lake, he goes to the Sea of Galilee, he goes to where the boats are and to where the fishermen are, and he connects with them right where he is, and that's just what Jesus does. He does it all the time. He did it all the time in Scripture, connected with people where they are. He connects with you and me right where we are. It may be through our family or through a business or some relationship that you have, and you begin to notice something that starts to pique your interest. Something happens and you begin to notice, you begin to get interested in God, in Jesus, in the Bible, in spiritual things. You may not be able to explain it, but something's happened through someone, through somewhere, and this interest begins to grow. And through it, you're more interested in thinking about and considering God. You may have never been interested in Jesus before, but he comes to you through someone, through something. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member who seems like they have something that you're missing. And it gets your attention. Your attention is piqued. Something happens in your life and you just kind of, you just want to know what it is about this other person that makes them be closer to God than you seem to know or understand. Notice in this story, friends, that at this point, Peter doesn't yet have faith in Jesus. He's just interested. He's just interested. Of course, he knew all about Jewish religion and all that stuff, but a personal interest in God just begins to build when he meets Jesus. He doesn't really believe that Jesus is going to help him catch fish. He's been out all night. He's not caught anything. I mean, what is this Jesus guy really thinking? What's he think he's going to do? And yet there's just enough interest that when he says, you know, let's put out to the deep water, let's drop our nets once more, just enough interest that he says, okay, I'll check this out. I'll check it out. We'll try this. Listen, if you're here right now in church and you've not already given your life to Jesus, well, guess what? You're probably more interested than you would think. You're probably more interested in him than you know. I mean, why else would you be here? Why else would you be here? Some say, well, I'm just here because I'm trying to appease a friend or our family member who invited me. Or maybe some of you are saying, well, I'm just here because I've heard things, you know, about the place, and I just thought I would come see what it's like. Listen, if you're a guest or visiting today and this isn't your regular Sunday morning routine, I just want to say to you that I believe that you're here for more than that. I believe that you're here because your interest has been piqued. Your interest has been piqued. This is the first stage. You have some interest that you didn't have before. After this first stage comes a second stage that's pretty amazing. Sometimes it comes quickly, and sometimes it takes some time. But stage two is this, it's revelation. Now, not the book of Revelation, not end times. That's not what we're talking about here. Something being revealed to you. Revelation. In Peter's case, his revelation came when he gets this huge catch of fish. The Bible calls this revelation. God reveals that there's something, really something to this. And it happened to Peter when he got this huge catch of fish. Something surprising, something unusual happens. And now God not only has your notice, but he's gotten your attention. As we read all about it again this morning in verses 5 through 7. Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. What a fishing trip, huh? I've never had a fishing trip like that. When I was little, we fished a few times with my dad, and I may catch a bluegill. They're sinking the boats with fish. This was the moment when Peter realized that there's something to this. This was his epiphany. This was his revelation, his aha moment. It can and does happen in a lot of ways. For some, it may be a success in your life like Peter had here, and it comes beyond your own control and your own capability, and you're just blown away by it. You don't even understand it, but you realize that maybe there's this God out there. That it's had something to do with it, somehow has been a part of it. Sometimes it comes through a need that happens in your life. You've got some sort of great need. You're not sure how it's going to be met, and somehow there's some provision made for you, and you start to, your interest is piqued, and you start to think, wow, maybe there is a God out there who's helping me in this area of need. Sometimes it's something dramatic that happens in your life, and you have this experience or this revelation. But then many times it's just that you notice someone or others in your life who are followers of Jesus, and you notice something in them that, you know what, you just don't have. But gosh, you really want it. You're thinking, how can they be like that? How can they change like that? How can they be forgiven like that? What happened to them? How come they're kind when the rest of the world just doesn't seem to be? It becomes an aha moment, a revelation, a new way, a new life. In my life, this aha moment came to me when I was finishing high school. See, I'd gone to church my whole life. I had heard all about God. My interest had been piqued in God many different times, many different ways, but I was still clueless that there could be a God that wanted to have anything to do with me, that wanted to have a relationship with me. And then a friend of mine drug me to his youth group at his church. And I went there, and the leaders that were there, and some of the other teens that were there, they talked about God in a whole new way. Nothing that I'd ever heard of before. They talked about God like he was real, like God was personal. They had something that I knew I definitely didn't have. It was a new revelation to me that God wasn't just some distant figure somewhere out there, but that he was up close and he was personal. And I had an aha moment. And I realized that there was something more to this. There was something that I'd been missing. And I kept coming back to that youth group until eventually I gave my life to Christ. First comes the interest. Then comes this revelation. And then comes this third stage. And it's often the most misunderstood stage. Some of you are going through this stage right now and you don't understand it. And so you think that maybe this faith thing's not supposed to be for you because you don't really understand. Stage three is this, it's fear. Fear. What is it that Peter does when he's made this realization of who Jesus is? He tells him to leave him, right? He tells him to leave him. The third step is fear. You get afraid of it. You may want to get away from it. Peter says, Jesus, would you just leave me? Let's read it again, Luke 5, 8 through 9. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the great catch of fish that had been taken. Peter had this moment of revelation. He's the Son of God. And then he realized, I can't have anything to do with that because I'm not holy and he is holy. I've got to get far away from this, far away, because I know that those two things can't go together. Holiness and my unholiness. If you've had that kind of response as you've been considering faith in Jesus, I'm just not good enough to follow Jesus. If you only knew, really, if you only knew what I've done and where I've been, it's just too late for me. I'm just too far gone. If you've ever had those kind of thoughts like that, then listen to me. You're not alone. In fact, it's pretty right. And it's pretty a normal response. It's the natural human response because he's God. And we're not. If you look through the Bible, it's pretty much always the response when people encounter God, really encounter God for the first time. Here's just two examples. One is Moses. God comes to Moses in a burning bush. And if you know the story, do you remember what happens to Moses, his first response to God? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He was afraid to look at God. That's fear. Isaiah, second, the great prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he goes to the temple and he has this vision of the greatness and the holiness of God. And what's his first response to that vision? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of the heaven's armies, of heaven's armies. Listen, if you've ever felt like that, I don't know if I can get close to God. I'm afraid of that. If you felt that way, it doesn't mean that your faith in Jesus isn't for you. It just means that you're a sane person. That's all it means. It just means that you recognize that God's God and you're not. It means that you recognize that God's great and he's holy and I'm not so great and I'm certainly not holy. Listen, friends, if you're feeling this way, you need to hear what Jesus said to Peter. We all need to hear what Jesus said to Peter. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You see, it's not about you. It's about God. And God wants to get close to you. He came in the person of Jesus to say, I want to get close to you. And just like he came right up to Peter's boat that day and said, I want to get close to you, he comes right up to each and every one of us saying, I know who you are. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. God says it doesn't matter. I want to forgive you for what you've done. I want to get close to you. It's not about you. It's about who God is. And God goes on to tell Peter that he's called to something. To be a fisher of people. To be a fisher of people. God has a purpose for you. It's not like he accepts you and then says, I'm going to put you off in this corner someplace on your own. No, he says, I want to make something out of your life and you just can't even imagine it yet. And that's what God wants to do in your life and through your life when he gets you through this moment of fear. He has a purpose for you and he loves you even as you are, which brings us to stage four. Stage four, then, in this story is faith. Peter follows Jesus. Peter follows him. So once you break through that moment of fear, the final step, the fourth step in this process of faith is that you decide to trust him. You place your faith in him. And that's what Peter did in Luke 5:11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. There was this moment of this changes everything. And we have those moments in life, don't we? When we hear two words like, marry me, that's a change everything moment, isn't it? Marry me. You've got to decide yes, or you've got to decide no. You've got this why in the road, and depending on what you say, you're either going this way or you're going this way. It's a define, it's a change everything moment that we have. The two words, follow me, are the same. Jesus says, follow me. It's a why in the road, and we're going to either say yes or we're going to say no. We're going this way or that way. It's a why in the road, but it's a bigger why in the road than marry me, because this goes on into eternity. Follow me. Follow me. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means that you trust him in every area of your life, with the bad and with the good in your life. Instead of trusting yourself to try to make things right with God, with a holy God, you're going to trust Jesus. It couldn't be possible to make things right with a holy God on your own. You need to trust Jesus for that. And he gives you forgiveness. Through dying on the cross, he's taken your penalty and paid your price, following him and trusting him to forgive you. You trust him for the bad in your life, and you trust him to do great things with your life. But how do you begin to trust this faith? You begin by inviting him into your boat. And if you've never done that before, I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a bit when we finish this message, but we're not quite done yet. I said we have two boat stories today, so we have one more boat story to tell. So that's our first boat story, Jesus getting into your boat. But after Jesus is in your boat for a while, you begin to learn that the real faith, the real life of faith, is that Jesus wants to get you out of your boat. And that's the second story we're going to work through this morning, of Jesus getting out of your boat very quickly. He wants to get you out of your past, out of your selfishness, and into a whole new purpose, a whole new life. So our next boat story helps to show that. This is an event that happens about a year into Jesus' ministry. So a year after the account that we just talked about. And what's happening here is Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. He's tired from doing ministry, so he says to his disciples, he says, you guys get in the boat, and you go on to the other side. I'm just going to meet you there. I'll catch up with you in a bit. And now let's read what happens after that in this second account in Matthew 14, 24 through 33. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost! They cried out in fear. Can you blame them? But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Friends, this is a miracle that'll take your breath away. It'll take your breath away. Jesus is walking on water. This Jesus walking on water miracle has to be one of the most famous ones that he does, and someday we'll take an in-depth look at it, but we're going to gloss over it this morning, look at it very quickly for the purpose of where we're going. But admit it, wouldn't it be so cool to walk on water? I've thought about that before. Is that even possible today that I could have enough faith to step out and walk on water? Wouldn't that be so cool? Listen, Jesus wants to get us out of the boat. When Jesus gets you out of the boat, it means that you leave your place of security and you're taking new steps of faith. So how does this happen? How do you do it? How do we live a walk on water kind of life? When we look at Peter's experience here, there are actually three kinds of faith that we see. So let's take a quick look at these three kinds of faith. When our faith takes action, you have faith for Jesus to get into the boat, but these show what it means to actually live out that faith now. Number one is this, it's the faith to get out of the boat. You're going to show that faith in action that Jesus is in your life by having faith to get out of the boat. That's where it starts, right? That's where it begins. I mean, think about it for a minute. Peter's been a fisherman all of his life. He's been around water all of his life. He'd been in lots of storms out there on the Sea of Galilee. He knows that the last thing that you're going to do in a storm is get away from the boat. That's fisherman living 101. The boat is your salvation in the storm. But because of his act of faith in Jesus, Jesus says, go over the side and come to me. And this fisherman who has every bone in his body saying, stay in the boat, you fool, stay in the boat. He leaves his place of security and heads out toward Jesus. And there it is, friends, the first step of faith. You leave your place of security and you trust God instead. You know, the biggest struggle in the Church of America today is that we become way too secure. We become way too secure. Jesus is out there on the water in the midst of the storm, and he's saying, come. Hey, come out here where the waves are. There's more than that boat. Come out here. This is where life really gets exciting. If you'll have active faith and you'll step out of the secure little boat of yours, you're going to walk on water and it's going to be so cool. It's going to be so cool. Friends, what's the security blanket? Like Linus in the old Charlie Brown cartoon carrying around his security blanket, sucking his thumb. What's that security blanket in your life that's keeping you tied to the boat? But you need to drop. You need to get rid of that so that you can actually leave your comfort zone and begin to go out where the waves are and walk on water. What is it? Now for the second step that this account teaches us about faith. It's this. It's faith to step out on the water. To step out on the water. The story tells us that Peter walked on water toward Jesus. Now don't get caught up on that he began to sink stuff just yet. Just give him a break here. Go back to the beginning and notice those words. This is Simon Peter, a mere human being, just like you and like me. And the Bible says he walked on water toward Jesus. How'd he do this? He's a human being. The key words here are towards Jesus. As long as we focus on Jesus, we're able to walk on water. As long as we're focused on God's power, he's able to walk on water. You see, as long as we focus on Jesus and realize that it's God's power, not my power, when we look away and we start depending on our own power, we start to sink, just like Peter did when he looked away. But when we focus on God's power, well, there's nothing that God's power can't do, right? There's nothing God's power can't do. And here's the thing. This faith is an every second choice. When Peter took his focus off of Jesus just for a second, that's when he began to sink. Will I focus on my circumstances or will I focus on the Lord? It's that simple. It's that simple. First, you've got to get out of the boat. Second, you've got to take the step of faith. And the third is this. The third of this about our faith is faith to cry out when you're sinking. To cry out when you're sinking. Peter starts to sink and he shouts out, Lord, save me. And in that moment, friends, Peter had to choose who he was going to trust. He's sinking. Who am I going to trust? He could have turned to himself and said, well, Jesus just let me sink, so I'm going to take it back. I'm going to do this on my own and started dog paddling like crazy. I mean, certainly fishermen knew how to swim. That's what a lot of us do. We lose our focus on Jesus during the storms, and then we try to take control back, and we start swimming like crazy trying to rescue ourselves. But if Peter would have done that, he would have been overcome by the storm. He'd have been overcome. Instead, Peter swallowed every bit of his fisherman pride and he called out to Jesus. And friends, Jesus rescued him. He's facing the greatest challenge in his faith up until this point. The waves are overcoming him. He's facing the challenge of failure, but he gets it right and he cries out to Jesus. Friends, perhaps you can identify most with the first boat story today, where you know you need to invite Jesus into your boat. You know you need to invite Jesus into your life. Your boat is out there a sail, and you're standing there all by yourself. And when the waves get turbulent, you're just clinging onto the side, hoping that you're not going to drown. You're just going with the stream. You're just flowing down a river with everything and everybody else in this world. And you know that where it needs to start before you is you need a new captain of the ship. And it's time to invite Jesus into the boat. He's not even in your life yet, and you really know that. You've had your interest piqued. You've had maybe revelation in your life. You've seen these different things. Maybe you're fearful of it. But you know that today is your day of faith, where you say, I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to ask you, Jesus, to come into my boat and to lead my life. Or perhaps it's the second story that identifies with you most. Oh, you've been floating down the lazy Miami in the boat. It's all good. Jesus says, hey, Jesus is in my life. I'm good, right? I'm good. I got Jesus in my life. But Jesus is saying, I want you out there in the waves. Why aren't you willing to take the risk? I'm out here. You know, if you're going through this, that there's something God's been calling you to, and you're holding tight. When he's telling you, I want you to walk out of the boat, take your foot and lift it over the edge and trust me. Some of you have been clinging to your boat when God's telling you to get out in the waves, and you know he's calling you to something, but you're not doing it. Drop the security blanket. Get out on the water and walk with him. I want to lead us in two prayers this morning from both of those places. I want to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. And let's pray together. Dear God, I know that there are people in this room today who've never asked you into their boat. They're struggling through life. They're trying to just get the boat to move, and life is hard. Or maybe they're just cruising in the wrong direction, and they're not even acknowledging you. But they know they've not asked you in. Their life is about to begin to change today. And as if this is where you sit today, Jesus isn't in your boat, and he's not in your life, but you know that that's where he needs to be. Ask him, invite him in. This is your day. Even if you've just heard about Jesus for the first time, it happened with Peter in a day. Maybe you've heard about it longer before, but this is your day for your life to begin to be changed. And simply say to God, Lord, I need you in my life. I'm inviting you into my boat. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Inviting into my heart, into my life to lead me from this day forward. I want a new adventure with you. Friends, if that's where your heart is and you've prayed that, I promise you, Jesus has acknowledged it. It tells us in the Word that if we believe with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and confess, believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that he rose from the dead, then we will be saved. And if you believe that and confess that, he's come into your life. I promise you. Now, if you are with that other story this morning, Jesus has been in your boat for a long time, but you just kind of have it at dock. It's easy to call yourself a sailor and never untie the rope from the dock and just hang out there in one of those houseboats that you see on TV. I never understand why people buy a boat and never leave port. but they'll live in a houseboat and never go out to where the water is, never see what's even venture out there. They're just going to hang out in this boat. And that's where some of us are. We're tied in at port, and you're saying it's time to step out of the boat. And if this is you in this room, if God's been calling you and you've been resisting, you've been holding back, you know that it's you. I don't know who you are, but you do, and God does. And he's saying, I'm out here on the water. Trust me. Focus on me and my call for you, and lift your foot over the side of the boat and begin to walk in water. It's going to be so cool. If that's where you are, I just say, encourage you to say a prayer of submission. Jesus, I'm submitting to you. I'm going to do it. Give me the strength to step out, because I'm stepping out today, out to the water and to the waves, to walk with you where you're calling me to be. And God, I know you've heard these prayers, and we thank you for that, and we lift them before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you one other thing. If God is calling you to step out of the boat, friends, show it. If you're not willing to step out of your seat, you're not going to be willing to step out of a boat. So if God's calling you to something, show that to him today as we sing, and step out of your seat and just come up here and pray. Just talk to him about it. Nobody's going to look at you like you're funny. Nobody's going to judge you. Just come before him and say, I'm stepping out. Maybe it's you're accepting Christ into your life today, and that's what you need to do. But if he's calling you to do something, don't stay planted in that seat. Show him that you're going to do it today. Friends, as I was just contemplating and singing, a thought came to me. There's a common thread that's in both of those stories that keeps us from taking the next step, and it's that fear component. The fear to invite Jesus in, the fear to step out of the boat. And where does fear come from? Fear does not come from the Lord. Fear comes from the devil, who tries to keep you from being where God wants you to be. It's a common element in both stories. I'm afraid to invite Jesus in. I'm afraid to let go of what's secure and step out. Fear's not from God, so forget the fear. Where would you rather, let's say you're even going to drown. Would you rather drown back in the boat with all the sailors, or out where Jesus is? You're not going to drown with Jesus, but I would choose to be with Jesus, right? We can walk on water.